Good evening, everyone. Here once again for your sins is Gilly Potter. It may, I think, interest some of you to learn that I am at last back in town, my surviving creditor, the milkman, having himself gone into liquidation. This talk, therefore, is being given for the first time from my own flat in Peabody's Buildings, Park Lane, London, West by North. For the benefit of foreign visitors and the natives of Canvey Island, I will repeat the address. Peabody's Buildings, London, West by North, 5.9 recurring. Merely adding that on Monday next, my 24th birthday will be closely observed by all ships at sea, most official receivers, and certain LCC trams. In connection with this event, may I state that while my supply of socks, fountain pens, and antimacassars is sufficient for an average lifetime, my stock of bullion, landed property, and small silver is at its lowest ebb. Please state clearly when writing whether Reverend, Mr. or Mrs. Now, during the next hour and three quarters, which is the shamefully short time allotted to me this evening, I hope that you may glean great good from my talk. I am limited in my choice of subject matter, since it is incumbent upon me that while enlightening England, I should do so in a way that will at the same time assist my daughter, Porky, to do her homework. My daughter, who is at what is known as a finishing school, which school, unless it finishes soon, will soon financially finish me, has to state on paper what she knows historically of Henry VIII, a subject concerning which she knows rather less than does the average Zulu of the state of the temperance movement in Norwich and vicinity. I will therefore deal straight away with old Harry. Henry VIII is generally regarded as having had no other interest in life than the acquisition of wives. Indeed, far too much is known about his marrying proclivities and not enough about his own sweet self. So in a few apt, well-chosen phrases, I will endeavour to enlighten you. Henry was born at a very early age. I doubt if anyone was ever born earlier. His mother was Elizabeth Woodville. She was a wonderful woman, but although his mother was a wonder, his father was a Tudor. His father, Henry VII, was originally a publican. He first kept the Red Lion at Chalfont St. Giles. Then he took the crown at Bosworth. Our subject was a very thin child, despite the fact that in later life he took an outsize in sports coats, and would probably have remained thin, but for the fact that one day, while watching a procession of 16 Boy Scouts go by, 15 of whom were in the band, his nurse dropped him out of the window and he fell down plump. As a young man, his principal friend was Sir Thomas Moore. That was young Sir Thomas Moore. Old Moore, of course, was busy with his almanac. By the year 1509, Henry, having got past his hoop, tired of his magic lantern and punctured his motorbike, thought he would get married. His first wife was Catherine of Spain, an arrogant woman. Trouble with her arose about a girl called Anne Boleyn that Henry met when bathing at the Lido in Hyde Park. The following day, Henry told Catherine that he was going down to Hampton Court to play cricket with Wolsey, instead of which he took Anne to the pictures. They had not been there long when in came Catherine. "Oh," said she, "so this is what you call cricket, is it?" Henry, of course, was fairly stumped. Then he had a brainwave. "Of course it's cricket," said he. "Can't you see? Here's Anne Boleyn." When he came out of the hospital, he went to France to see West Ham play Chelsea on the field of the Cloth of Gold. Chelsea, of course, lost. By this time, he had married Anne, but soon after he cut her head off, which was a bit thick, or as he himself said, a bit off. His third wife was Jane Seymour. She was lucky. She died. Henry then went into mourning for 25 minutes, had a hearty lunch, and married again. This wife was Anne of Cleves, who had been described to him wrongly as Anne of Cloves, which Henry thought spicy. She landed at Dover, and Henry went down on his bicycle to meet her halfway. Didn't like the look of her from the northeast. She was stout, which made him bitter. Cycled round her, liked her appearance from the southwest even less, stopped a passing charabang and paid her fare back to Flanders, where she came from, and was very well known, having been on the town council there, though only as a councillor, and not, as Henry said, mayor of Flanders. Cycling home that night through Camberwell, he met his next wife, Catherine Howard, who was no better than she should have been, if so good as that. So the least said of her, the soonest mended, or in this case, woman dead, as she was soon after. Then Henry saw Catherine Parr, and said, "I want you to come and be my queen." But after his last experience, added, "Have you got your character?" She replied, "No." Whereupon Henry said, "Well, be back at 3 with your character and come and be my queen." At 3 o'clock sharp, back came Catherine. "Well," said Henry, "have you got your character?" "No," replied Catherine, "but I've got yours and I'm not coming." They did marry, however, and when he died, she lived happily ever after. The most famous person in Henry's reign was Wolsey, the man who invented underclothing. The first time Henry saw him, he was showing samples to travelers. So when Henry was announced, he dived under the table. But someone said to Henry, "There's Wolsey under there." He said, "Wolsey? Under where?"